Whew, windy today.
Oh, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's go have a drink.
Today we are joined by the Brookings Harbor High School Knowledge Bowl team talking about their recent trip to Chicago to compete in the National Quiz Bowl tournament. Several months ago, I learned of this local Knowledge Bowl team's accomplishments. I was so excited for them. Discussions at Brookings Cafe had a live audience recording at the Checo Library a few weeks ago, where this amazing team showed their wit and competitive spirit. I called it a pep rally for the brain team before the big tournament. Today is the follow-up show. Let's go around the table. Everyone say their name, your class, and some fun fact about yourself, if you would like to. We will start with one of the team's amazing coaches.
Lisa Piscatello, and I've been coach for 2 years.
Hi, I'm Spencer Miller. I'm a senior this year, and you told me to say something I like to do. I like to swim and be on the Knowledge Bowl team.
I'm Nathaniel Barnard. I'm a senior this year. I'm the captain of the team, and my interesting fact is that I'm allergic to dust mites.
Hi, I'm Abby Marks. I'm a graduating senior this year, and this is my second year on the Knowledge Bowl team.
Hello, I'm Annika Nelson. I am a senior at BHHS, and I love to read. I just love reading.
My name's Ethan Hooper. I'm a junior this year, and I'm going to be our captain for next year.
My name's Cecilia Hilton. I'm also a junior this year, and I really enjoy playing on our high school soccer team.
Awesome. Okay. Nathaniel, the team captain this year, is going to have to leave us in not too long. He can't stay for the whole program. So, Nathaniel, what would you like to tell us about being on the Knowledge Bowl team, going to Chicago, college plans, just... You know, we're going to cover all these subjects in the next hour, but I would really like to give you the mic for...
The whole smorgasbord is what you ask about.
Yeah, and 5 seconds or less.
All right. Well, like you said, I'm Nathaniel. I've been on the team for 5 years now, which means I started in eighth grade. We actually have a middle school team still. And we just got back from Chicago, like we said, at the national tournament. We ended up making it to the playoffs. And we also had some high individual scores as well. Knowledge Bowl is just, it's a great time. For those of you that don't have any experience with it, it's pretty much like you take Jeopardy and it turned into a team game with four people on a team. And it's just a great measure of wits and fun time to see who knows the most weird facts around. We play within a region of 7 schools around Southern Oregon, and then we had our national qualifying tournament as well that allowed us to give birth to the national tournament.
What about your college plans?
My college plans?
You were captain of this award-winning team that...
Yeah, so I am a senior, so I'm planning to go to college. Engineering is... the sort of direction I'm planning on going, mechanical engineering specifically, at Stanford in the fall.
Not too bad.
I mean, depends on who you ask.
Staying on the West Coast then.
Yeah, that's the plan. I got into a few other ones, but Stanford was the one that seemed right for me when I visited.
Okay. Well, Lisa, I would like for you to just say a few words about how as a coach, you qualified this team to go to Chicago, and because only 2 teams from the West Coast went, you and Gold Beach. There was no other team west of Colorado.
Huh.
Yeah, I looked up and so I think that's quite an amazing...
Yeah, I mean, we currently are, I think, one of the only active groups. Our regional group is one of the only active Quiz Bowl groups on the West Coast, so that makes it pretty easy for us to wrangle this. So the backstory is, last year I got this lovely volunteer coach named Layla Bryant, and she had done NAQT from the time she was in middle school, and she said, why don't we start doing this? And I said, okay, sounds great, but you have to take the lead. because you know it. And so she did, and I just kind of backed her through the whole thing, and we put together a tournament in February that was kind of separate from the rest of the competitions that we do throughout the year, that we invited every school in our group, and the ones that showed up competed with NAQT questions in the kind of bracketing tournament that we usually do. And based on the percentage of teams that showed up, we definitely qualified, and Gold Beach kind of petitioned to go in because we're such a small group that it's a thing. And but they got in, which was marvelous. And so we were able to take all of our kids to Chicago to the NAQT Small Schools Tournament. And what that is all around the United States. You compete with a specific style of questions that get the start about as obscure as you can get. And then it gets down to very general. And there are really specific rules that go with how you answer the questions, when you can buzz in, and then we work through that. So there's some really specific style things. There's some really specific ways that you can answer questions. And so that's a lot of what we worked on this year, was how to answer this specific style of question, how to start to get an idea of what the answer could be before you even have heard the whole question. And so that's just kind of where we went with it, is we really kind of geared our entire, both of our teams, towards NAQT style questions, which gives them, I think, a lift in their ability to gain knowledge as well as their critical thinking skills, because there's actually quite a chunk of information that is delivered to them.
So this was a really special opportunity for not just Brookings Harbor High School, but your whole region. You exposed them to, you know, if we do this, we can qualify and we can go. And even Gold Beach got to go, which is great. I want to ask the team, anyone can pop in here, what was it like at the national tournament, the stress level, the questions versus what you had done locally? Were you in total shock or were you like, I've got this?
I'll take that one. So initially we were a little bit concerned because we do come from a pretty small region with a few teams. We weren't sure if we were actually competitive for the national... Am I okay? Okay, if we were actually competitive for the national tournament. But after losing a few games in the beginning, losing our spirits a little bit, we actually went on a winning streak and got ourselves to the playoffs, and that felt great. I think, I'm not sure if we were expecting it, we were hoping for it, but it turned out really well.
Also, the thing about NAQT is while we are competing at the local level with our regional teams, the points matter. You are scored by points, and the person that wins the tournament is the person with the most points. But at the NAQT national level, it was a win-loss ratio. So I think the stress level was kind of different because you could see the points, you could see the changes. So you needed to win at least 6 and lose only 4. Out of the 10 games in which you played, and we were getting up to the point where we lost almost too many. So getting up, we had to get on the winning streak to be able to go to the playoffs, and we finally made it.
And your final ranking, I believe, was 25th out of 80?
Yes.
I think that's amazing.
Around 80, I'm not sure if it was more or less.
82, 81?
It was 80. Yeah. I will say, to build on these two, we definitely didn't know what to expect. Because, I mean, from around here, we have a lot of... They don't usually follow the NAQT. So, like, we've had one experience with, like, an actual tournament with NAQT questions. So going there, and now we're on a national level where we don't play a lot of other teams. Like, a lot of these other teams are by each other. They're from Illinois. They're from Iowa. So they're from teams that can play each other physically, while we didn't know what to expect. So going there... It wasn't a lot, like, harder questions. We just didn't know what it was at first. We didn't know how we should answer or what the kind of questions were going to be. So I think now, especially since we have experience, for if we go the following years or following years to come, we'll have a lot more experience and knowledge of what we're going to do. And especially coming through this next year, we'll know a lot more, too, especially for our local region.
So one of my questions I had written down, and I think you've answered it, is this a legacy that you've started that you hope to continue for Brookings Harbor High School?
Absolutely.
They better go next year, right?
Yes. Did you hear that? Yeah.
And as two juniors sitting here, are you guys committed to making that happen?
Yeah, I'd definitely say we have some big shoes to fill. I mean, we have a person going to Stanford, so it's kind of hard to, you know, try to go there. We have other, God, sorry, Annika, I forgot what college you're going to. Okay. Barnegie Hall or whatever.
Barnard?
Barnegie. Oh, Barnard? Oh, God. I was thinking Carnegie Hall at that point. I'm all over the place. In any of... Yeah, I'm just going downhill. In any event, we definitely have some big shoes to fill, but we have a lot of people who I think are ready to step up to that competition level, especially after we've been to nationals and we know what to expect and we know that we can do it. I think we're a lot more prepared.
Yeah, and we each have our own different specialties that we're trying to, like, acquire. So over the summer, I'm hoping that a lot of us are able to, like, add on to what we already know and, like, create, like, a stronger team next year with stronger players that, like, are well aware of, like, who they are in the team. So that would be pretty cool.
So another question I thought of was, how do you prepare? Because I've watched these questions when you did it at the library and then when you had a tournament in Gold Beach, and it's everything about everything. What type of resources do you use to kind of hone in on this knowledge base?
So personally, I'm not sure about my team members. I know they do a little bit of this, but I have learned a lot from different Quizlet. Quizlet is a website / app, and I just I search the different topics I want to learn about, and you can also add NAQT to your search, so it'll give you the questions that you need to know for. And there's other internet online resources. So there's one website / app called Cetera Geography, and that's I've basically learned. I pretty much know, like, all of the countries in the world now from this app I taught myself, so I can spatially figure out where everything is. But yeah, I think it's a lot of personal research, but I also think it's based on your life experience. A lot of people would never know all of the art pieces that I know because their moms weren't an artist like mine, or their mom, I don't know, maybe there wasn't such a focus on books. You know, we all have our specialties based on what we are passionate about and interested in. So, and I think that plays in too.
Yeah, I'll definitely build on that. You definitely need a motivation to, like, want to get better. So, like, in Annika's case, she loves to read. So her literature knowledge is, pretty much impeccable to anybody else here. Nathaniel's, science is because he wants to be a mechanical engineer and stuff like that. So it kind of goes with what you want to do in the future, but also what you like to do in school. So I like sports and, like, math and, like, history, so I have a bit of knowledge about that. I know, like, Cecilia herself likes to read a lot, so she has a lot of reading stuff. And I think it's kind of based on the classes you take and your interests overall.
And was there a question when you were in Chicago that I remember when we were at the library and you were asked the Beatles question, and that was lots of fun. For those of you who haven't heard the library show that we did, it was both student teams. We did have the student team against an adult team at one time, but this was just student teams. There were 9 students up there, and they were asked the first 4 names of the Beatles.
Let me tell you, I would have had that question if I was there.
I got it. I didn't say it, but I know all 4 of them, I promise.
Talk into the mic. But it was a fun moment. Because the whole audience, of course, knew, and it was a generational thing, and it made for great theater. Were there any questions that you totally aced at the national tournament, and you were just so proud, you were like, oh my?
Okay, so the night before we had just watched the Broadway show Hamilton, and so it was all fresh in our minds. And so on one of the competitions, there was a last run of bonus questions, which are kind of like an extra point that the team as a whole can talk about. And so these three bonus questions were all directly related to Hamilton and the show. So we were very excited about that, and we just completely killed those because we had just watched it. So that was a pretty cool experience.
No Beatles questions in Chicago?
No. I'm not sure. I don't remember any.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to remember.
But can you all name them now?
Yes.
All George, Harrison, Ringo.
I said
Harrison. I don't know. I said his last name first.
Okay.
It's my bad.
Maybe some of us can.
We'll still work on that one. So you went to Chicago. You had, 17 people with the adults? 17 people on a trip like that. That's fast-paced. Something's got to go wrong. Anything? Let's just have some fun here. Let's
okay. I feel
Spencer?
Like this question is geared towards me in particular because before the main bad thing happened, I fell asleep and I woke up one morning and my glasses were broken, and then so I wasn't able to see anything, and that might have tied into the fact that I lost my wallet and I lost. I lost my wallet, I lost my ID, I lost money, I lost my debit card, I lost my paper ID, so I lost both my IDs. So I had to sit in TSA for like an hour and a half, and I got a lot of weird looks by people that were like just walking by us. They asked me some really interesting questions, one of which I almost got wrong. I had to get filled in. I almost said Brookings Harbor Elementary School because I completely blanked on the fact that it's called Kelmeopsis Elementary School, even though I went there. And then they also asked me who one of my neighbors were, and I don't talk to my neighbors, but and it was kind of interesting that they knew who my neighbors were before I did. I mean, luckily I was able to guess one of them, who lives like a block away from me. But they I was right because they let me go through without my ID. But yeah, sitting in TSA for over an hour because I lost my wallet was definitely pretty unfortunate.
So, if you don't have an ID and you need to fly home,
yeah,
that's what they do. They probably pulled up your address online the computer, right? And
yeah, they have a form, and it's like I forgot what the guy said in particular, but it was like the National Identification Center, and so they pretty much have all of your info, and they were like, they just double checked, they made sure I was who I was, and it would have been fine if I wasn't 18, but I am 18, so that's why.
We also had the lovely experience of one of our students, Nathaniel, who said his fun fact was he's allergic to dust mites. So he had a massive reaction the night before the competition started, where he showed up and his entire face was puffy. He was covered in hives. Luckily, his dad was along so we could get him medicated and everything, even like to the nth degree, because the poor guy was pretty miserable. And he was very sick on top of that, had a massive cold, so he was not feeling his top the whole trip.
There was also some of the fun interactions that we had on the L, which is the elevated subway in Chicago. And coming from a very secluded, very small town, I always personally was very unprepared for some of the things that we saw on the subway. There was some interesting people that I really actually do not hope to meet again on the subway.
Furthermore, while we were traveling and relying on the L broke down citywide. So we had to get creative. we took some Ubers.
How many Ubers did you need?
Well, I think it took about 5 to transport the entire team with an adult in every car. So oftentimes we were dividing and conquering and getting, well, it depended on the size of the person's car, Hooper.
Okay,
but
yes.
Like sometimes you could get one of the big SUV ones that people were driving.
Uber XL.
Yes, that's what it's, y'all so fancy.
Well, I would like for one of you just really quick, because I heard a lot of the things that you were doing on your trip, and it sounded, I have done whirlwind long weekends in Chicago. Your trip sounded pretty pretty awesome. Crazy. And so just go down the list of you arrived. You left here at 1 a.m. Yes.
So we left here at 1 a.m. from the high school parking lot. We got to the Medford Airport, delayed for about an hour or so, and then we landed in Seattle.
SeaTac.
Seattle Airport. We waited there for about an hour. Wasn't too long of a layover, but we landed. It was too short of a layover. I do not know.
I'm just shaking heads.
Care about the layover.
We landed at about mid afternoon on Friday. We then got freshened up. We got dressed to the nines, and then we were going to go see Hamilton, but we went to a pizza parlor first. So it was an interesting sight seeing us stroll up to the pizza parlor. Hamilton was amazing. It's something that I was looking forward to for years and years. A few of us hung back to meet the cast while all of us went home. The next morning, Saturday morning, that's when we started tournamenting. We had both a B team and an A team. A team didn't start out too well, but we picked ourselves back up and made it to the playoffs later that day. We finished the night off with laser tag. Is that correct? After some walking around trying to find, we got a little bit lost. Yeah. The next morning, we went to the playoffs. That's where we ended our run for the NEQT tournaments, but after that, we started. Was Sunday the sightseeing day, or was that Monday?
Sunday afternoon was sightseeing.
We also ate about 5 boxes of Chicago deep dish pizza that day.
So we went around sightseeing. We went to Navy Pier. We saw the Cloud Gate, which is the giant silver bean. We finished that night with glow-in-the-dark mini golf, which ended a little bit interestingly, if Spencer eventually wants to expand on that.
Yeah, that's the night I lost my wallet. I walked out of the mini golf place, and I felt my my pockets, and it was gone, and I was sad.
Mm-hmm. And then Monday morning, that was the day we started packing up. The hotel thankfully kept our bags, so we didn't have to drag them around, but we split up, and we went to both the Science Museum and the Art Institute of Chicago. They toured for about an hour before the science people met back up with them, and then we split off again to tour our various... to our various museums. We saw some amazing pieces at the Art Institute. We saw some really cool things at the Science Museum. We eventually headed to the airport and shipped off home.
Anything to add to that?
To give you, for reference, we saw some Salvador Dali, Van Gogh, Warhol, Picasso, Pollock, anything that you might want to see in an art museum, we saw it. It was amazing. We saw the Wave Off of Kanagawa by Hokusai. Beautiful pieces. I was in shock.
And so let's just go around the table and everybody say maybe their favorite part of the trip, besides seeing Hamilton. I know that was wonderful. But what was, you know, you mentioned coming from a small place and some of the people you saw on the subway were a little interesting and you weren't expecting that. So just something that you really enjoyed or something memorable about your trip.
Well, I think after the stress of the first day of like Saturday of going to competitions and losing and winning and having to like just all that stress of not sure what's going to happen next. I think the Sunday was probably my favorite day because it was really relaxing and we were able to go sightseeing and just kind of be tourists for a day, which was really fun because I don't usually do that. And so being in such a big city that's completely different from where I usually live, it was such a different experience that I got to enjoy. And I just really liked being able to just kind of relax and take a day off. So that was fun.
I'm probably going to answer it too because I have two favorite moments. So personally, I really love the Science Museum because I was really intrigued with all the pieces and stuff there. Like they're more intrigued with the actual art pieces, but they had a lot of different, a 30-foot man-made tornado. They had like an original Tesla light. They had the Apollo 8 spacecraft. So a lot of like memorabilia that I think is really cool. And then ironically, another one is our 3-hour layover in Salt Lake City. We were all exhausted and tired and we just wanted to go home, but I think it was the last moment on that trip where we were all together and laughing, so I think that was really memorable for me.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So I will be going to college in New York City next year, so I really enjoyed getting a taste of what it was like to actually be in a city like like New York or Chicago. I feel like LA is a little bit more expansive. LA and San Francisco and Portland, these West Coast cities, are just, there's something different about them. I can't explain what it is, but Chicago really gave me a taste, and being on the subway, the L, gave me a taste of what I will be experiencing in the very near future, so that was really exciting to me. It got me excited about my next step in life, but also, the Art Institute of Chicago was absolutely marvelous. I already told you some of the pieces we saw, but yeah, it was fabulous.
I've got to say, some of my favorite moments definitely come from Sunday. Sunday is when we finished the playoffs. We didn't make it past that, but it was really incredible that we went that far. That sounds very pessimistic, but this was an incredible experience for us, and it was a kind of and like a nice little exhale because we finally got to really enjoy Chicago without having that in the back of our minds. We toured, we
we saw the sights.
Yes, we did. I wore Converse and walked about 9 miles. Those shoes are not made for walking, but it was probably the perfect Ferris Bueller day. Blue sky, wonderful weather. We saw so many incredible things, and as a person who's afraid of heights, but I still admired all the beautiful architecture, all the ginormous buildings, and I mean, Brookings, the highest building, is 40 feet tall, and this was an amazing experience. Just being in a city that I may not have a chance to be in again, but it was very beautiful.
I don't know. I think one moment in particular was probably the art museum, just like having that realization of that the pieces are right there. Because you always look at art like on the internet or in like picture books or something, and you see it and it's like, oh, that's beautiful. But actually seeing it in person, there's this kind of like, wow, like there's this moment that is, you know, it's different from when you see it somewhere else because it's there. It's like tangible. It's in person. You know, it's so close to you. It's interesting to think that it actually exists and it's not just some magical thing. Overall, though, just seeing a different culture versus ours was really interesting. Here, it's kind of like the same thing every day, but there you can see that there's like, oh, there's a lot of unique aspects to city life. It was interesting. We went to a Froyo shop and people are like, I don't know, I wasn't expecting people to be so like nice. I thought they would be like more to themselves in a big city setting, but like I found myself, we were out in public and people were genuinely just nice almost all the time. We went into a Froyo shop and some guy walked up to me and he was like, whoa, where'd you get your socks, man? And like it was I don't know, I wasn't expecting that, and I was able to like just joke with somebody like in like a random area or like in a random situation, and it was like I really appreciated that because I feel like that's not something that you always might get to be able to do. So being able to see, like being seeing that in a different area was really nice.
Did any of you, after having this experience, or maybe some of your other teammates that aren't here, has anybody talked about different plans for the juniors anyway? Seniors kind of have college planned out, where maybe you want to go to a bigger school or a bigger metropolitan area to experience that. Have people been talking about, wow, Chicago has tons of universities, as you know. It's a big university hub.
For me, not particularly. I like visiting big cities. I don't like staying in big cities because, like, I mean, there's a lot of travel. Each of our tram rides is like an hour at least. Plus, it was kind of broke down, and it was really nice to go there. But I feel like, you know, if I was there every day, it'd just feel normal to me. And I like the ability to like go to a place and be like, wow, this is really cool. This is not like any other place I live at. So, not for me particularly. I still want to live in a kind of suburban or rural area.
Anyone else that you know of on the team that might be thinking of?
I don't know. Do you think we have one student really interested in art? So maybe she might be interested in the art, or not the Art Institute, but I know there's art schools in Chicago. I'm not sure, though.
I know that even as a senior, there's aspects of Chicago that I would really crave in my new environment. I'm moving to a place that is very, very packed with people, which is an environment that I'm unused to. But being in a city where there's so many different kinds of people, we probably heard a dozen different languages a day. It was an incredible and diverse and different. And I think being in that kind of new place made me really excited to go to a new place. I'm not super good with change. I love my home and I love being here in Brookings, but at the same time, it gave me a nice taste for what's out there, that even though I already chose where I was going to be, it made me enjoy the place that I'm going to be even more.
So where are you going to college?
I'm going to Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, which is, Provo is very, it's pretty large, but also on the surrounding areas, you can drive and not realize you're in a different town. They're so close together. So it's this giant sprawling place, and I guess Chicago gave me a taste for it.
And Spencer, where are you going?
I'll be going to Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York.
And how large? I know it's not far from New York City.
It's a couple hours. It's about 3 to 4 hours away. It's the population of the school, it's funny to think about, is bigger than the population of Brookings. It's around 6,000 people. So it's not by any means like a big school, but it's pretty. It's a good size one in comparison to, I mean, our town population, which is funny.
And how large is Ithaca, the town or the city?
I think the population's around 50,000 or so in that area. I'm not too sure. I'd have to fact check myself there.
So no one on the team had been to Chicago prior to this trip? Not well, one person? Well, the adults.
The coach, yeah. But
yeah, you don't count, Lisa.
even some of the chauffeurs like had never actually been there. Like I know Mr. Barnard, one of our
chauffeurs.
I said, Shepherds. Okay. I don't, all right, my bad. Chaperone, my bad. I don't know why I said chauffeur. They basically chauffeured us, but the chaperones. One of them hadn't, like, some of them hadn't even been there either, so it was interesting. Like, they had flown in the airport, but they never stepped foot in the city. So it was even unique for some of the adults, too, which was cool.
And I would love to hear, if you don't mind, a little bit more about your subway experience. You don't have to, you know, say anything you don't want to, but...
they were really like fun. Like I don't, even the conversations that we had like as a team on the subways were cool, but seeing like some of the people on the subway, like not judgingly, but one of our teammates, Toner, he's not here right now, he had a migraine, and so he asked Mrs. Piscatello for some ibuprofen, and This older lady sitting behind us was really kind, and she gave him a ginger ale, and it was unopened, but Toner was still really unsure as to whether he should trust or drink from that ginger ale bottle. So he put it up to his face, and he put his finger in between the can and his lip, but he put it on the wrong side of the can, and he poured it straight into his lap. So that was really funny. We also had some people throw Whoppers at us angrily as we were getting onto the subway. That was kind of funny, but I thought the subway was really fun, good experience.
Does anyone else have any colorful stories from the sub? You got Whoppers, like the Burger King Whoppers?
No, right? The malt candies. Also, people were really nice. Like I sat by this one guy. He came and sat by me. We had a conversation, and he was like telling me things I should do while I'm in the area. Like he was being super kind. He realized that I was a tourist, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you should totally like check this out," or like there's some really cool things to do here. So people were really like nice on the subway too.
Well, I have one that's not quite on the subway, but it's just kind of like the people of Chicago. So we were walking downtown, and there was a street performer, and he had a guitar, I'm pretty sure, and he had like a drum that he was just playing. So he's kind of out there playing. And then this other dude was, I don't think they were together, but he was playing a tambourine with them. And so it's just like this fun little area, and the other guy who was playing the tambourine, he was super happy, and he was just like ecstatic. And so we were walking past them, and he just came up to me and gave me the tambourine and was like, "Come on, play." So I played the tambourine for like 10 minutes, and he was just dancing out there, and I was just playing this tambourine. And then when we had to leave, I gave it back to him, and he gave me a hug. So that was pretty cool.
So you guys fit in. You made good city folk, right?
I'm pretty sure everyone was aware that we were tourists, but you know, that was cool.
I enjoyed the there were performers outside the subway as well, playing little songs and things. I enjoyed that.
Annika, you're going to have a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Going to New York.
Yeah, I'd definitely say it was pretty much a giant game of let's not try to lose anybody. At the same time of we need to get from point A to point B really quickly. So there was a lot of us trying to count off and make sure that we didn't lose anybody, but people always forgot what number they were. It's funny for a bunch of, I would say, intelligent people. We have no common sense.
You just have the inability to count to 17 in a normal amount of time.
We're probably the dumbest smart people that you'll ever meet.
It was magnificent.
I was one. I was two. Always on
you
top of it.
On point.
I was two, I remember.
To be fair, it was mostly the adults, but...
mostly sleep deprivation.
Yes, that too.
Let's be honest.
You know, I was thinking about questions for today, and I was thinking about taking a bunch of smart kids to a museum and trying to keep them on schedule and together, and they would get interested in this thing and wander off. And I have taken school groups of students to different things before, so I have some experience there. And I thought about that, and then I thought, I used to do it without cell phones, so at least they can call you on your cell phone. But some of those basements and museums don't have coverage. I have learned that. So nobody got lost. Is that right?
Well, so the art museum, the tour guide that we had, she was very fast. So she like hopped from picture to picture while other people were still looking at the ones from before. So there was a couple moments when we had to communicate when people were in like four rooms behind us and had no idea where they were going. And then half of the group split up and we had to leave at a certain time. But the other half of the group wasn't there, so it did get a little confusing, but we figured it out eventually.
And the joy of having four chaperones with 13 students is that you can split up if you want to see different things, but that also sometimes worked against us a little bit because we thought this person was with this person, and it was... We all made it back home, though, and that is the... And not nothing, absolutely.
And you had a three-hour delay on the way back. Was that?
Yes, we did. So I think due to weather in other places, either San Francisco or Sacramento, there was fog, and that delayed the flight that was landing in Salt Lake City for 3 hours. So we were stuck in Salt Lake City's airport for 3 hours from like 11 to 1 a.m. So we got there before all the restaurants closed, so we got food.
Sorry.
And then the students played cards and giggled and had a really ridiculously good time. Mm-hmm. And because there were four adults, a couple of us like traded off sleep, which was really nice.
We
too.
We were also very tired. Yes. And
so
very
tired.
Very delusional.
Yeah, yes. they definitely had these sleep deprivation giggles and it was lovely.
So speaking of food, I'm glad you got food before the places closed in the airport, because I have arrived at airports after the food closed, and that's not always fun. Food in Chicago, I heard pizza, lots of deep dish pizza mentioned. Tell some good food stories. What was your favorite part, and maybe snacks or... Okay, Annika's just dying to talk about the food.
I ordered tortellini. The first place we went to get pizza was actually an Italian restaurant that also served deep dish pizza. So I ordered four cheese tortellinis, just thinking it would be a normal bowl of four cheese tortellinis, but it was a bucket. It was huge, and I was sharing with everyone. I was like, here, you want some tortellinis. Here you go. But I ate a good portion myself as well, and they were delicious. That was my favorite part of the food.
Yeah, I know for us, we wanted to always make sure that everyone got what they wanted. So especially at the food places, we kind of made sure everyone got a little piece. You might share with another person, but it's an entire pizza. So there was one point in time where we had, I think, at least a pizza and a half extra. And Miss Bryant told me, hey, just put this in your fridge in your room. Except the fridges aren't very big, and they don't fit entire pizza boxes. So we ended up stacking four just like bricks of pizza high into our fridge. I think it got eaten eventually, which is, I mean, when you put four teenage boys in a room, especially one who has an allergic reaction at 1 a.m. and wakes them all up, We get hungry.
That was one of my one of my favorite the aftermath of getting Luminalti's. There was a lot of pizza left over, and designing a tower of pizza, no pun intended, in the fridge was really a good time. We got like a cardboard box, and we like literally layered. There was actually like tower. And it was leaning. I'm not kidding. It was a leaning, and there was a tower of pizza in our fridge, and that was a lot of fun.
What was also quite a sight that I'm not quite sure everybody knows about, but we finished at the Italian restaurant before Hamilton, and there was some pizza left over, and Nathaniel didn't want to leave it behind. So what he did was put it in a plastic bag, put it in his pocket, and take pizza into Hamilton so he could eat it later that night at the hotel room.
And they search you.
He did
but
not
But he eat. Got it through.
He didn't eat the pizza.
They search you before you go into the theater?
They search your bags, yeah. It's not like a full body check or anything, but
you're not supposed to bring
He ate it after the show, so this is probably like 4 to 5 hours later. He whips it out of his pocket and eats it.
The lukewarm Hamilton pizza was eaten.
No one got food poisoning, so
no.
What else did we eat?
Besides we went the butter burgers.
Culver's.
Culver's, which is a Midwest chain of burgers, and I think Annika tried to get a salad, and it was a total and miserable failure because everything that she wanted was a seasonal thing that kept having been canceled. We also went to another pasta place. We just tried to hit things that were around Chicago. Deep dish pizza was our main goal because that's such a Chicago classic, but otherwise we just tried to suit the needs and desires of the students. So we went to the mall and the fashion mall, which everybody thought was wonderful, and fed them some mall food, so there's some comfort food. I'm gonna say that as a parent, I was very happy to see that they were all into like smoothies and stuff at certain points in time. That made me very happy.
So you guys didn't have Chicago popcorn?
What?
I didn't know it.
Oh, you have to go back. They're famous for their caramel corn mixed with different nuts. And no Chicago hot dogs either?
Mm-mm. We didn't see it. There weren't any out and about. So, like, not yeah, true not Chicago like hot dog places. I mean, if we'd gone to the stadium, we probably would have hit them up with Chicago.
The deep dish is the best, yeah. though. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely. You have another food story?
It was about food. I had froyo for the first time. I mean, that's not really related to Chicago, like specifically. But yeah, the fact that like they have that there, it shows that we really don't have a lot here. And it was. I mean, I'm sure there's froyo like 99% of other places, but they had like a cool little froyo shop, and like it was like this hole in the wall shop, and. Froyo was pretty good. It was tasty.
I've traveled a lot. I have no idea. I'll admit what you're talking. I mean,
Froyo, frozen yogurt.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
You said hole in the wall. You forgot to mention that it was under a highway.
Yeah.
Okay. That we couldn't. We really wanted frozen yogurt. All right, but it was under the street.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a hole in the wall and a hole in the ground at the same time.
Yes, but having two Harvard graduates trying to find where it's at. Was also a struggle because there is a lot of places to go underground, but we couldn't find any. And then we finally found one, and then it started walking the wrong way afterwards instead of going to Lake Michigan like we wanted to.
So even people from Harvard get lost.
And Mr. Dunn, he was one of our chaperones, and walking mildly next to him, he sounds confident because when he's speaking to the entire group, he's like, I know where I'm going. And then you hear him mumble underneath his breath, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, standing near him as he mumbles under his breath as he's directing a group of a dozen high school students in a foreign city was entertaining for sure.
So did anybody have one of those meters on that monitored how many steps you walked?
Yeah. Mr. Dunn,
that's how we figured out the 9 mile
32,
Sunday trek.
32,000 that one day?
Yeah.
40,000?
A lot of steps.
Yeah. And so that was 9 miles you walked on Sunday?
It's like 9.8. Yeah. It was crazy.
We walked around Lake Michigan for a bit, but we had to walk from the L that we took, and then we had to walk all the way back. But I will say, on the Mr. Dunn story, it was very funny because he would sit in the back so he wouldn't have to lead. So I feel like at some point, I think I or other people would just kind of walk forward and hope it was the right direction. We didn't get lost, and we definitely were late a lot, but we made it.
I think you guys did great, and I'm just shout out to like Google Maps, because a lot of us spent a lot of time on that, and every once in a while it led us down a wonky alley.
Oh yeah,
underneath a highway.
Yeah. But in general, we always got where we needed to go. So that was very handy. Like I was gonna say, when I was in high school doing these kinds of trips, Google Maps didn't exist, and there was a lot more regimentation and planning involved. And it's fun to have the freedom to do like, oh, you guys want to go to a Froyo place? Well, map it and let's go. And that kind of thing makes it a lot more fun, because then you get a little bit more play in your schedule. You don't have to plan it like 4 weeks in advance.
It also really gives you the idea of how big Chicago is. I mean, you live in Brookings, and everything is within a 10-minute drive, and bad traffic means you chill at a stoplight for maybe a minute and a half. And getting to Chicago, and you see just 6-lane one-way streets going back and forth, or everything is within a mile radius, and it's huge. That was such an experience, being in a large city, trying to travel from one place to another.
So, I am actually from Los Angeles, so I have a little bit more experience than some of the team members, and I enjoyed watching them experience a big city for the first time much. I had a lot of fun. They were silly.
So, just those of you at the table, or you can talk about some of your other team members, what... Previous to this experience, what had been your largest city that you had been to?
Well, I grew up in Kansas City, and I've lived in Kansas City and Missouri and like Ohio area. So I've been to large cities before, and I visited them, but I don't think that was when I was much younger. So I don't think I've ever spent so much time like where I was like consciously alert in such a big city. So that was a pretty cool experience.
When you're in little, small town, big town, they all,
yeah,
mom
all
and dad are
together.
Yeah, they're taking care of it.
So for over spring break, I spent the whole week in Portland. So I guess if you're counting that, if we're talking about lived, I lived in Portland for a little, or not Portland, but Medford for 12 years of my life. So I guess that's the biggest city. And I mean, it's nothing near Chicago, but.
Are we talking about lived?
Lived or visited.
Okay,
so
I just visited New York City for college. I visited my college, Barnard College, but I've also been to Washington, D.C. a couple of times, and I grew up in L.A. That meant I've also taken trips to San Francisco a bunch, and then living here, I've traveled to Portland and different things, but probably New York City is the biggest, and L.A.,
For me, I've been to Portland several times. I've been to San Francisco a few more. I traveled for a week to the D.C. area, getting around that big area. I know I've been to Utah several times as well, and that's almost a different mentality as well, because you think of cities as being a city, and then there's space, and then there's other towns, but Utah flows together. I mean, it's just the largest city you've ever seen, but it's actually 17 of them.
Utah is a state.
Yes, I mean, the touring... You are definitely right. Utah is a state. It's being in a city, thinking you are in a city, but actually being in seven at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to New York City before, and that's probably the biggest city I've been. I've been to LA, and I've been to other cities, but NYC is probably the biggest one that I've been to. But it's a lot different, like I think, than Chicago, because I thought Chicago was a lot more beautiful than NYC. I mean, they're both like huge cities, but New York is just different. I don't know, like the perception I had of the two places, but. Yeah, Chicago was probably the most beautiful big city I've ever been to in comparison to New York City.
Well, the architecture, someone mentioned earlier about the architecture in Brookings is not very, and I have been to Chicago a lot because I am an architectural buff, and I moved here 3 years ago, and I was a little concerned about the architecture. When I looked at pictures, I like, I don't know, but we have the natural architecture here. of the mountains and the ocean. And when tourists come, another thing that you mentioned, how friendly people were to show you where to go. I moved to Boston when I was 19, and I was a nanny. And the woman I worked for, she told me at that time, always help the tourist. We want our city to look good. Mm-hmm. And I even do that here in Brookings. If I see somebody that looks a little lost, it really gives your city or town, wherever you are, a great face to your tourists and your visitors if you'll always help them out.
What's also interesting about being in a small city is you think you've seen all there is to see for a small city, and then you go to a big city and it's like, wow, there's so much more here. But talking to other teams that live in the Midwest or live even just more inland than us, they've never seen an ocean before, or even a large mountain. Some of them hadn't seen a large mountain range or something similar to that. And we're like, come on, we live in Brookings. We've at least seen these things. But there's still a lot of differences, and there's a lot of uniqueness about living in Brookings as well.
Yeah, so whereas they have never seen the ocean, some people had never seen the big city, so that was kind of an interesting dynamic. Yeah.
So I heard someone mention, I know Chicago pretty well, the bean. And for our listeners that don't know what the bean is, it is a lot of fun. And I would love to hear you guys describe what you did at the bean and in the park. Oh, first of all, describe to our listeners what the bean is.
So, it's kind of titular. It's a big bean. It looks like a bean. It's metal. It's metallic. It's super shiny. Yeah, you can see yourself in the bean. It kind of distorts everything. You can walk under the bean. You can't walk over the bean.
It's a giant sculpture.
Yeah, it's a big sculpture. It's really fancy. Nathaniel left, but I can describe how Nathaniel feels about the bean. Nathaniel liked the bean very much. Nathaniel kissed the bean, actually. Nathaniel crawled under the bean, and he gave it a big old smooch.
He's not alone.
Yeah, okay, I might have crawled under the bean, too. I did not kiss the bean. I just crawled under the bean. I think that was one of his favorite parts of the trip. I really liked it, because I'd never seen anything like that. You can call that. That's definitely art. I thought it was fantastic. Nathaniel loved the bean. I love the bean. We all love the bean.
That was the most excited I think I've ever seen Nathaniel in his entire life. Is when we rounded the last block and he sees it and he just kind of took off.
He left us. Yeah.
And he ran. He ran. Yeah. He ran off. Like, he told me he got accepted into Stanford and it was a normal Nathaniel voice, but when he saw the bean, he took off and we didn't see him for about 10 minutes. So.
Did he know about the bean beforehand? Yeah. He had been looking forward to that?
Yes. I think that's the only reason he wanted to go, was to go see the bean.
No, he was talking to us about the bean earlier, and none of us knew exactly, like, none of us had ever heard of this before, and so he was so excited, and so, some of us hadn't heard of it before, and so a bit confused about why it was so exciting, but then we saw.
Yeah, and I was asking him, like, what are you looking forward to most on this trip? And personally for me, it was Hamilton and competing and seeing a big city. And he said, the bean. And I'm like, what's beyond the bean? He said, there is nothing beyond the bean. And I had the pleasure of standing next to him as we walked away from the bean. And I heard him singing lullabies to it. He loves the bean very, very much. Oh, yes.
That
he sang odes to the bean.
It's pretty much the only piece of art he enjoyed the entire time.
Which was kind of went to the Art Institute of Chicago.
Yeah.
So he's not an art...
He does not like art. But we'll say that. We have
discussed.
Yeah, we have discussed.
Here's an image. I'm showing her a picture.
And so the bean is... It is this incredible, huge outdoor sculpture that... reflects the people and the buildings around it, and you can all go and Google images of the Bean Chicago and see what we mean.
Also called the Cloud Gate, if that's any more specific.
The Cloud Gate, yeah. It is beautiful. I'm really curious. I love Nathaniel's passion for it, but how was he aware of it? Had he been to Chicago before and seen it? No.
It's just a major landmark of Chicago. I think that's basically it.
What's also interesting about is I asked his father, who was a chaperone on the trip, like, if he was excited about the bean. His father didn't even know, and I was surprised Nathaniel had not built a shrine to it in his room yet.
We've talked about qualifying to go to Chicago, planning the trip, the food, all of the fun things. Some about the tournament. Who were you competing against? You said you lost a few rounds, then you kind of revamped and you started winning. That had to, and you also talked about Sunday afternoon after it was all over. So that had to be incredibly intense. How did you handle, I mean, did you just feel like after losing a few, energized, I'm going to go back in there and prove myself, I want to cry and go home? What, how do you handle the tension? Because that's what life is, and you are all getting ready to have even more experiences like this in college and going forward. So I'd love to hear how you handle the stress.
I handled the stress by being present through the stress. So instead of focusing on the future or what the outcome would be, I just tried to have fun in the moment. But also, I think what kind of, we were kind of in a funk in the morning, I'm not going to lie, but I think we competed against a team that we kind of had an advantage over, which hadn't happened all morning, and that gave us kind of a confidence boost, and that allowed us to have the four consecutive wins. Am I wrong? I think that's what happened. But also, it was our knowledge.
You were just great. Anyone else want to, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we, as a collective group, hit the point where it's like, we know the information, we just need to get some confidence and buzz in faster. Mm-hmm. So I think after we hit a point of, hey, we know we can do better than this, and we have nothing else to lose, might as well start buzzing in earlier. That's when we hit that streak, or they, also, us. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, also, we do definitely need sort of a warm-up time and the afternoon to give us a chance to do that. We lost a couple, and our lunch break gave us a chance to kind of regroup, grab a breath. And by towards the end of the day, we needed to win four more, and we couldn't lose a single one. And I said, may the fourth be with us, and then we won four in a row. So, I don't know, maybe that was a part of it.
It was
May the 4th, so I was like, I don't know, that kicked us off.
Another obstacle we ran into was there were penalties if you buzzed in and interrupted the reader and had no answer, or it was the wrong answer. And that is nothing. We have never played a tournament with the penalties, so that was something. I know I messed up a lot with the penalties, and I think a lot of us had to get used to that. But once we did and we kind of learned our limits and how much we could test them without costing ourselves too many points, because it was 5 points minus per penalty. So,
well, I think our time is about to wrap up, but you've been listening to discussions at Brookings Cafe here on KCIW Radio with the Brookings Harbor Knowledge Bowl team. And a big thanks to Pi White, who is our recording engineer and took all these voices of different levels and is going to edit them and maneuver them so we all sound good. And I want to challenge all of you. We might have to wait until after the school year ends next year, but I would love to have these seniors that are going off to college to come back and tell us about their experience, their first year away at college, and the juniors that are going to be seniors next year and leading the Knowledge Bowl team. I would love a reunion show and listen to all of your experiences you've had. So stay in touch. You guys are awesome. Your town is very, very proud of you. And I hear that a lot from people.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think as a collective group, we also wanted to say thank you for all the people who donated too. Like, it literally could not have happened without you.
You guys deserve a pep rally just like the football team, and I will close with that.
To that.
Yay!
Yay!
Pep rally.
Yeah,
pep rally at 1 in the morning.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.